we're too busy to take the time to think about what you can do to help. You know,
right.
Maybe that sounds fucked up, but it's true. Like, the real value is like...
Hey, what's up? This is Gabe from Legion Beats and MIDI Money, which is where we help music producers start, grow, and scale their music production businesses. Now, if you'd like to learn more about how I was able to turn Legion Beats into a profitable business and how you can join our community of hundreds of producers all working towards that same goal, head over to MIDIMoney.com/go.
All right, so today on the MIDI Money podcast, we got Trizza. Trizza, thank you so much for coming. I appreciate you.
No, thank you, sir. Thank you. Appreciate you for having me.
Yeah, man, we've been talking about doing this for a while. I'm excited to get into it. Maybe just for anybody who doesn't know, you know, a little bit about your background, maybe we could get the quick version of just kind of how you came to be Trizza, how you came to be where you are now.
Oh, man. So I'm Trizza, originally from Virginia. I've been making beats and DJing pretty much since I was a teenager. And, you know, I started just like everybody else. Back in the day, I was selling beats on SoundClick, was the popping thing. I was making pretty good money from that. I moved to Atlanta and really had a bunch of great mentors like B Cox, Rico Love, Usher. So I got to be around that whole situation. Did a few records, got a few placements, worked with some people like Chris Brown, Justin Bieber, Rico Love, of course. And then I got really into entrepreneurship, and here I am.
Love it. Love it. So you've had some great experience on the sort of quote-unquote industry side and on the entrepreneur sort of business side, too.
Exactly. And so, I feel like they go, you know, they're hand in hand a lot of times.
Yeah, do you feel like some of the skills that you learn on one side help with the other side?
Oh, definitely. And especially when it comes to, like, the music industry, it's very hurry up and wait. And so I've always wanted to own my own businesses and run my own websites. And I've tried 20 different things since I was, like, a teenager. But it's always helped me, like, between placements and, like, waiting on checks, having a business of my own always helped me be able to kind of make decisions that I wanted to and not have to take deals because of money or, you know, do certain situations because I needed the money. It helped me be able to sit back and be like, okay, this is what I want to do. And I have time to make the decision and figure out what it is exactly that I want.
Yeah, no, to me, that's what that entrepreneur side is really about. Mm-hmm. It's about freedom, because when you have that ownership, it's your thing that you're doing. You know, you're not waiting for somebody to cut you the check because you're cutting your own check. So you're good. So
exactly.
Like, you can pick and choose, you know, the other stuff that you want to do. So that to me is the one of the big advantages of actually building, you know, building your own thing. So what was kind of like one of the early versions? So I know you said SoundClick. How did that kind of evolve? Like, what was the next version of you kind of building your own, you know, business, your own thing?
Man, I've always been into, I mean, you know, I guess, like, I don't want to tell my age, but like growing up with like MySpace and like building themes and stuff. So I've always been into like websites and like, you know what I mean? Like, so that was always a thing. So,
bro, you know what's funny is I feel like MySpace introduced a lot of people to like HTML and like, I know it was for me, like I never knew anything about that, but you could like customize it and make it look, they all look
exactly
horrible.
But and that was the whole thing.
But you learned a little HTML. I know for me, that was the first time I, you know, learned any kind of like coding or anything like that. So, man, shout out to MySpace for creating
got the stars floating around, got to change the arrow on the joint. Yeah, that was the wave.
Yep. Yeah, and, for sure. So you were kind of on MySpace doing some, like selling beats on there and stuff like that, or?
Well, I would just sit there and just learn coding and figuring out stuff. So that kind of like opened up the window of like making websites. So me and my brother originally started making beats together. My brother's a DJ also and a producer. And so we were making beats together, and we would be on SoundClick selling beats. And I was making, in high school, I was probably 14, 15, and I was making good money for a 14, 15-year-old, like selling beats online. And then I feel like the pricing was different. It was a different time with SoundClick. So, you know, it was still kind of new of selling beats online. So I enjoyed that. But then it got to a point where that started getting, I think SoundClick started slowing down maybe like 2 or 3 years after that. And I started an e-commerce site selling shoes. So I went from SoundClick to that, But then that was doing kind of decent. So I would buy equipment, you know, and the whole time I'm DJing and I'm making beats. So I always had like a website that I was running, and then I was always making beats and DJing. So that's always been my strong points. And, okay. And continuously now, same formula of running websites, making beats, and DJing.
Okay. So that first e-com site, was that on Shopify, or what kind of platform are we talking about?
So this was WordPress. This was pre-Shopify.
Okay.
But the crazy thing is, so I was watching Shark Tank one day, and Damon was on Shark Tank, and he was saying that I'm going to invest in this new company called Shopify, right? Mm. I'm a big Damon fan, so I start checking it out. My girlfriend, her family, they're all like into the beauty industry. So I tell her, I'm like, yo, we should start a website selling beauty stuff online. So if you look, I'm one of the first Shopify sites. I opened within those first months with that website. So that site has been up. It's one of the very, very beginning ones because I heard Damon talking about it. So I signed up, we made a site, and we did, man, well, like six figures.
It's still going. That's like a billion-dollar industry right now.
Mm-hmm. And it's just doing it from the house. So that was like my first like success in e-commerce. But then at the same time, I was still making beats, still chasing placements and doing that at the same time. So it's been, you know, it took me a while that I had to understand like certain stuff to keep all of this going. So I had to learn about like delegation and VAs and to-do list and all that stuff, because I'm not naturally the most organized person. So that had to come had to pick that stuff up to keep everything going together. But I'm glad. It's one of the best things that I've learned.
Yeah. No, I want to get into all that. But just so a little more on the journey. So, okay. So you start with the e-com with stuff sort of outside of music, right? With sneakers, beauty. Mm-hmm. When did that start to turn into connecting those worlds of, oh, I can use these skills that I've learned in e-com as far as how to set up this site, how to drive traffic to it, how to do all that kind of stuff. But now let me do something music related. What was the first version of that?
Well, it's crazy. So a lot of how I got in the music industry would be like, hey, I DJ, so, you know, if you ever need something, I can help you out. Or, hey, you need a logo? I can help you get that. But and I would just do favors for people. Like, and I wouldn't ask for anything in return. But then when people found out I made beats, it'd be like, oh, well, let me hear it. And so it would open a lot of doors of just me just being willing to help people with trying to get on that side. Like, a perfect example, Sound Oracle. Me and Sound Oracle do a podcast together. That's like my brother, like big brother. When I met Oracle, people thought he was fake.
Shout out Sound Oracle.
Nah, that's my bro. Like, much respect to him. Like, love him to death.
Love Sound Oracle.
And when I first met him, nobody thought he was a real person. Everybody thought he was like a myth. They was like, yo, I heard it's this guy that makes the sounds for all the top producers, you know, but he's hard to find. And Oracle's really to himself. If you don't really, now Oracle's out here. Oracle's doing events. But at that time, if you didn't know Oracle, you would never, you know, find him. And so my manager at the time knew Oracle, and they came up together under like Polo and all of that. So they knew each other very well. And I kept begging him. I'm like, dog, please introduce me to Oracle. Please introduce me to Oracle. So I signed a pub deal. I get my first pub deal. And the first thing I bought, I paid my lawyer, I paid my manager. And then I call Oracle and I said, yo, I will come to your house now and write you a check. I need sounds. Because, you know, anytime I make money from music, I try to buy something that's going to help me back in music. So the first thing I did is I went and spent money with Oracle. And through that, we got really cool. And then he was trying to get online. He was trying to start learning like website stuff. And because I had a background in like graphic design and building websites, I was like, oh, let me help you. So the original Sound Oracle logo, I did that. I helped him build the original website when he started redoing all that stuff. So that was like my ace in the hole. It's like, if people were trying to get into that space, I could help them. And then they would help, like Oracle helped me a lot with sound design as far as like, you know, picking sounds and learning those techniques. So that's a lot of how I got into a lot of these like industries.
Bro, that's just to stop you real quick. That's just such a gem right there. And something that I feel like comes up a lot on these podcasts is like you learning these different skills. And sometimes you're not even sure where it's going to come in useful, or doesn't even feel like it's related to music or whatever. But then once you get good at whatever that is, maybe it's graphic design, maybe it's building these e-com stores, you know, that ends up opening the door, because now that creates the opportunity where you can give value to somebody like Sound Oracle,
exactly.
who now creates this whole nother, you know, thing for you in music. So just to me, the gem there is just like, don't be afraid to try all these different things. Even if it feels like, why am I learning whatever Shopify right now? Like,
right.
I want to do music, but it's like, no, like, go down the whatever those paths are with that, those opportunities that present themselves to you. And when you start learning that stuff, like, those skills are going to transfer to where you can now cash that in for, like, that's exactly. that's how it is for me. That's how I know Sound Oracle. That's how I know you. That's how I know so many of these these influencers, because, like, oh, I'm like the funnel guy. Like, okay, this guy can help you build funnels and make money. Cool. So that's my in, you know what I mean? And now that I'm able to use that to bring that back to my music. So my bad. I didn't want to stop your story,
but
I just feel like that's such a gem right there that people need to catch on to.
Yeah. So, man, please, like, if you got a talent, man, help people, man. That was my thing. It's like, all right, or either it was like rappers would be like, oh, I need a DJ. And I was in the clubs DJing. So it would be like, all right, you want me to play your record? Here's some beats. So I would just always try to barter and exchange, like, hey, I help you out. And not necessarily looking for anything in return, but I would just throw it out there. And then a lot of people would just remember me and they would just be like, oh, he helped me out. My manager, I had a manager named Keith, and a good friend of mine, like, to this day, and he's really good friends with Usher. So I got to go on that whole journey of working with them and being around them all the time, because he was somebody else that I just randomly would start helping on some other stuff. And then I was around, and it's like, oh, you make beats. And so, you know what I mean? I'm playing beats, and then they're amazed by the beats now. And that's how I met Rico Love, got a publishing deal. That's how I got a lot of these placements. It's just networking and just trying to reach everybody and not really being, you know, just trying to put goodwill out there.
Yep. No, it's the thing. Everybody says, like, oh, give value first. But I feel like most people don't really understand that. That is what giving value first means, is like, it's not your music. You know, if you're trying to get a placement, like, your beats, giving them beats, that's not value. That's the thing you're trying to sell, right? That's that, you know what I mean? So the value is helping them with, you know, something else, right? I think that's a big gem right there. And like, for me, a lot of time in the past, it was engineering, because that was a big focus for me. So it was like, people would want to work with me as an engineer.
Right.
So, and then I would be like, oh, hey, you want to hear some beats? Like, you know what I mean?
And exactly.
So that was kind of how that worked. But so you're doing the e-com stuff. I'm curious about when did the e-com turn into you selling music stuff, whether if that was beats or kits or, you know what I mean?
So I had the beauty e-commerce, and that was doing great. And that was like a learning process of learning Shopify. I've never really ran a business that was that successful at that time, so I had no idea what I was doing. And then when I met Oracle, all that was going on. And so I'm helping Oracle start his business, right? So Oracle said Oracle was selling sounds through the DM. Like, I don't know if he's ever told people how this was working, but he was DMing people links and doing it like that and taking it one at a time. I'm like, bro, I'll build you a site. Like, I'll help you out, walk you through it. And I think he had built like a makeshift site, but it wasn't the greatest. And then, so I introduced him to Shopify. And so he, in return, he was helping me learn sound design. And so Sound Oracle's website is very all about Sound Oracle. It's his sounds. But I wanted to have something where it was like my friends and like other producers that I could sell their sound packs. So I talked to Oracle and I was basically like, yo, I don't want to step on your toes, because I want to do kind of the same thing, but, you know, we could do this together. We can help each other out. And that's how we kind of approach everything, is we literally kind of do the same business. But if I find out a gem, I go to Oracle like, hey, bro, you should try this. And then vice versa. So I feel like we both helped each other grow tremendously, because we're covering so much ground from one person trying this and then one person trying this. And then we go back through our results and be like, yo, this worked for me. How about you try this and switch this around? And then we go back to the drawing board. And so I feel like we both had a lot of growth through that. So that's how I started the producer kit, is just that, me wanting to like put my friends and make sample packs with them, like Ayo and Keys, who just did WAP for Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion. I got a kit that I did with them. Those good friends of mine, Diego Ave, who it was just on the Obama playlist, you know, for records he's produced. And that's like another one of my good friends. So I do kits with these people that I know and give them kind of an avenue, because they don't want to do all the technical stuff and they don't want to build the websites. They just want to put the product out. And I feel like I make it a lot easier for them. I do all the design. I get all that stuff together for them. So it's just like, give me the sounds. I'll make the play for you. And then we're going to put it out to the world. And so that's kind of what the producer kit has become, is like a boutique for these kind of producers to make packs.
Smart, smart. I love it. Yeah, it's exactly what we're just talking about. It's just you bring that value, something that they don't know how to do, they don't want to do, whatever. And then it just creates the opportunity for you and for them. So, okay, that's dope. And so that's how I see. So what Sound Oracle's site? Is it just Sound Oracle?
Yeah, soundoracle.net.
.net. So you started that first with him, then you started the producerkit.com after?
Yeah, so I just helped him put his site together. So I helped him with graphics. And, you know, I knew that was going to be his thing, and that's what he wanted to do. And then I was trying to find a business, because with the beauty stuff that I was doing, the issue was I didn't care anything about it. Like, I don't know any. I'm just doing the business. I'm just like, how do we fulfill these orders? How do we make this money? So I wanted something that I cared about that was in that sector. And I didn't like selling beats online at a point. So then to me, the kits was like, okay, this is my option. This is where I could really like buckle down and get into.
Yeah, no, for sure. Mm-hmm. That's dope. So then, so you started to talk about a little bit, you know, to be able to do this stuff, talking about like delegation and task management, project management, team, stuff like that. So I'd love to get into a little bit of that, 'cause that's something that's a big topic for me. You know, at this point I've got a pretty good sized team, and there's no way I could do nearly any of the stuff that I do without that team. So I'm curious kind of what was your journey with that? Like, what was your first hire, let's say? How did you kind of come about that?
Oh man, so okay, I'm running the beauty website, I'm helping Sound Oracle, we're doing a podcast together, and then I'm running the producer kit, I'm trying to start that, and then I'm still in the studio 6 days a week, 8 hours at a time. And it would just get to a point where I was like overwhelmed. I wasn't sleeping. Like, I would be so stressed out because it would be so many tasks that I couldn't get done, and something had to get done. And so I just felt like my life was kind of falling apart. So me and Oracle, we kept talking about all this stuff. And then we finally found a to-do list manager called Todoist. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I know it.
But for me, one of the best things that ever happened to me, I saw this guy, I still know his name, Carl Poulin. If you go on YouTube, he's like the Todoist guy, right? He teaches you everything. So that was the first thing where I was like, I get it now. I see the structure of how you can organize your life and put certain stuff and remember stuff. So that was the first thing. And then I really started studying virtual assistants and how that worked. So my first hire was a personal assistant just to help me do everything, you know. And that one, I had went through maybe four people. Because what I was doing, I was hiring overseas. So anytime you're hiring overseas, it's very hit or miss. You got to find a qualified person, someone that understands a lot. Because a lot of times you get people that's cheap, but it's not necessarily good. So I had to learn the, you know, you pay for what you get for. You know, you get what you pay for. And so after maybe three or four people, I found my VA. Her name is Mary. Still with me to this day. We've been running like 3 years. I also hired her husband. Her husband helps with the graphic design. And then he also helps with the beauty business that I run. So that took a lot of weight off of my shoulders. And then I start using Asana, which is like a project management.
That's huge. But so hold on. So I just want to get into some of the details as far as the hiring process, because I feel like a lot of producers are maybe at that point where they haven't quite hired somebody yet or they're about ready to. So what are some of the details as far as like, when you went through those few, what service did you use? Like, a lot of times I'll use onlinejobs.ph has been a great one for me. Upwork is, I've had some luck with. Where were you finding those potential hires, and then eventually the one that you actually hired?
So everybody that I've gotten has been from Upwork.
Upwork, yeah.
Yeah, so I've had pretty good results from Upwork. I think the biggest thing that at the beginning I was messing up is I didn't know what I was looking for. So I'm telling people like, hey, I want an assistant, but then I didn't understand how to delegate certain stuff to them. So I would hire people and then they wouldn't know what to do because I didn't understand how to delegate. And so I would buy every course about delegation and working with VAs and just study, trying to learn how that works. And now I feel like I have a good system of like video record at one time, write out the SOPs, put it in a template, and then boom, you know. makes everything much easier. So if I feel like if you're starting out, just study, like learn what VAs, like learn how to write your task out so someone can understand it. Because what I would do is just be like, hey, do this for me. And then I didn't think about like, they need to log in. They need this. They need to know what caption to put. So then it made me start thinking like how to break everything down in like small pieces of like, oh, okay, so I need a landing page, which means I need to write these captions so they can fill this in. I need these graphics, you know, and so it makes you start thinking different. And then from there, I feel like that's when everything can kind of start changing for me. And I started getting way more done. I was able to still make beats and still get all this stuff done while making beats.
Right, right. No, having those what's it called, SOPs in place, mm-hmm. it makes all the difference in the world. And it's one of those things where it's such a hassle at first because it's like, okay, I could just do this real quick. Right. Or I can take 2 hours to document every little step mm-hmm. of the process or whatever. And so I think a lot of times we get frustrated like, all right, well, this isn't even worth it. But the thing is, you put that time up front, you put those hours up front, mm-hmm. and now somebody can do that for the next 2 years for you, right? So exactly. It's just like front loading that time and having mm-hmm. the discipline to be like, all right, I'm going to suck it up. I'm going to put in that time and energy now. And I think it's the same thing too, as far as just training somebody, you know, that,
exactly.
It's tough because we hire somebody because we're overwhelmed, right? Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden we bring somebody on and we're like, okay, I want that relief instantly because my life is falling apart, right? Like I have no time to do all. And now you bring somebody on and what you realize is, wait a second, this is going to take way more of my time to exactly. actually onboard this person. You got to put mm-hmm. in hours, you know, every day for weeks, in my opinion, to do it right. And then,
exactly.
and then, you know, maybe taper off a bit. But again, it's that long-term commitment and understanding mm-hmm. that ultimately, you know, it's going to be valuable.
Yeah, I have one more thing. So if anybody yep. they're trying to get a VA and they're trying to start out delegating stuff, first thing I would do is write out everything that you do for like a week. It sounds like weird, but like you'll start noticing there's so many things that you do that someone else could do easily. And even just by eliminating those little things, you free up so much time. Like I would like be making graphics because I knew how to, you know, like I knew Photoshop and Illustrator. And it's like, yo, someone can do this just as good as I'm doing it. And then I don't have to do it. So now I don't make any graphics. Like I don't, it's rare that I pull out like Illustrator or something. But yeah, so I would write down everything and kind of just document like, okay, I need to do this. Like, no, I can't hire somebody to make this beat for me. Or you can, but you know. Like, you know, certain stuff you want to do, but then it's like posting something on social media or writing, scheduling this email, like stuff like that. It's like, oh man, I don't have to do this at all. And, you know, go from there and just write out a list of what you're looking for and what you're not looking for. And I feel like that helps people kind of understand. So when you're hiring somebody, they get, all right, I need to know these skills. And I already know what I'm getting into going into it, instead of kind of just being vague and be like, hey, I need somebody to help me. And then you don't know how to explain how to help yourself, you know? So yeah. That was my issue at the beginning.
Bro, that first part about like realizing how you're spending your mm-hmm. time, it's crazy. You don't know what, mm-hmm. one, the version that I recommend doing of this, which is like kind of intense, is a time study where I have a timer that goes off every 15 minutes. I use an app called Repeat Alarm. And so it's literally every 15 minutes this alarm goes off. It's super annoying. Like I wouldn't do this all the time,
right?
But I'll do it like 7 days at a time, and I'll do it every few months or something. Mm-hmm. And so every single time that timer goes off, I fill it out. I just have a little, you know, a little spreadsheet or whatever, you can do right. on a piece of paper. I'm just, okay, what was I doing just then, right? And then you write every single thing down. Mm. And so it's basically just talking about exactly what you're doing, but even a little bit more of a finer point on it.
Right.
Then you go back and look at that, and now you can categorize every single thing. Mm-hmm. And the terminology that I've learned is strategic or tactical, which is you're saying like, okay, the strategic stuff is really the stuff that you as the owner of the business really still should be doing, right? Maybe exactly. that is making that beat, maybe it, you know, whatever that is, right? But right. then the tactical stuff is the scheduling, the email, is the, you know, whatever it is that you can hand off. And now all of a sudden you have, first of all, you're going to get mad at yourself because you realize you spent 2.5 hours on some tactical shit that you should mm-hmm. not be spending your time on. And second of all, you go through that and you list everything that you put that little T for tactical mm-hmm. next to, and that becomes the job description for that hire. So it kind of, exactly. you know. same kind of thing.
It's life changing. Get a to-do manager. Like, I use Todoist, and then for projects, I use Asana. But you can, it's ways that you can link them all together. So if I get a task on Asana, it shoots to my Todoist. So only thing I had to look at is one thing, and I know for the day, I need to get these five things done. And to me, that's because I start getting overwhelmed. You ever get to a point where, like, you don't want to check your email or you don't want to look at something because it's like, bro, I know it's going to be overwhelming. I already know.
Every day.
So that helps me a lot because, you know, it's like dealing with so many different things and trying to be productive in all of them. This kind of keeps me like, all right, I know I need to focus on this business today. So I at least get this out, but then I can get back to music once I do these two things. So that to me has been one of the greatest things for me to be able to run other businesses and still be able to be in the music industry and still, you know, do my thing in there and be in the studios and hang out and but still be making money on other stuff.
Yeah, there's so much. How do you pick those? Because, okay, I'm sure on any given day, there's probably 30 things you could be doing. How do you pick? How do you, you know,
decide? Well, I mean, one, I have great help. So, I got a great team helping me with a lot of this stuff. And then every week, so Sundays is my day where I will write down everything that I could think of for that week. And then I put them in an order. So, and Todoist, you can mark stuff either red, orange, or blue. So anything that's super important, like I knew I had to do the podcast, red. It's super important. I know I need to write these emails for this upcoming product, red. So anything, and I really sit down and I spend maybe 2 hours of really just getting focused on what's the most important. And then I try to schedule it out. Now, sometimes I get off schedule, which is natural, you know, but me having understanding of the hierarchy of like this is the most important, and as soon as I wake up I try to knock out that super important thing if possible, and then I got time. So to me, that's what's been able, so I could still like go to the studios at night and then have a life, you know, doing other stuff, take care of my daughter, but then be able to get a lot accomplished. So that's kind of how I end up picking it. And I just get an old school piece of paper, you know, pen, write everything down, and then I add it into Todoist from there, because to me it's easier to think out everything on a piece of paper. And man, that's been great. And then I just mark down if it needs to go to someone else, cool, I mark it to that, you know. But I just get all the ideas out every week, and then every day in Todoist they have a thing called inbox. So every day if I think of something, I put it in the inbox. At the end of the day, I just go through it, make sure I sort it, put it, assign it to somebody, and that's it. And now I done got it down to that takes like 15, 20 minutes. But that's kind of how I end up keeping up with everything, so stuff just doesn't fall through, because that was an issue I had for a while. It's just like I was so overwhelmed doing so many things, and I didn't want to be like a jack of all trades, master of none. So I started niching down and focusing on a few things and really getting good at that, and then letting everybody else kind of deal with the other parts that I wasn't as great at.
Smart. Damn, okay, so many gems in there. Yeah, that whole concept of, okay, let me get everything down on paper of all the stuff. Now let me get clearer about what are the priorities. Not only what are the priorities, but what are the things that make sense for me to do that's like my, you know, zone of genius or my, you know, the strategic things in my business that I need to be doing. And then what are the things that I can hand off? Let me make sure I delegate that. I have my system in place to do it. And then bam, you're doing it. I think that's huge. That's huge. Because it's as producers, like, you already know, just being a producer, you know, just on the creative side, there's so many things from, you know, yeah, okay, you're making beats, but you're organizing your samples, but you got to export the beats in all the different formats. You got to, you know, like just that is a million things. Then you're a business owner, an entrepreneur, that's wearing a million different hats. Now you're doing both. Like, you need to have some kind of system, something to do it. And so, yeah, that's smart. That sounds like a great way to do it.
Especially like, I feel like, with producers, that a lot of people don't treat it as a business. And that was one of the things very early on. I had like great mentors. It's like, yeah, you have to treat, you got to understand marketing. You got to understand how to like put yourself out there and treat it like it's like a e-commerce site. Treat it like, you know, it's your job. Like that's how you have to do it. Like, so making beats is one small part of it. And people get so weird when I say it's one of the smallest parts. Like, everybody at this point with technology, everybody makes great beats. Like, it's people like, you know, me and Oracle putting out loops that's like Right, you could loop stuff up, throw some drums on it, and people think it's amazing. The consumer doesn't understand it. It's a loop pack. So right. Then it comes down to who do you know? Who are you getting in front of? You know, those are the things that matter, and it kind of makes the difference. And, like, shout out to you, man, because you came in, and you gave me some gems, and you helped me out a lot. I don't know if you know how much you helped me out, but you definitely helped me out a lot trying to figure out my marketing strategy. Because you were the only person I've seen to use ClickFunnels related towards music. Mm-hmm. And I had it for like 2 years trying to figure it out. You and Anna were the only people I was like, yo, how are they? I was like, all right, I got to figure this out. And I was on ClickFunnels just trying stuff. And then you gave me a couple gems and then it clicked.
I love to hear that. What's up? Yeah, let's get into some marketing, some funnels. Let's get into some of that. So what were some of the early things, I guess, maybe that you were trying that maybe that didn't work? And then what were some of the things that clicked that did work?
So at the beginning, you know, I had just a Shopify store and I was selling sounds and I would do good. Right. It wasn't very consistent though. I would have months where I would make a crazy amount and then I have a month where nothing was happening. Right. And so during the time I was really trying to learn Facebook ads and I wasted so much money. I don't want to say wasted, but I learned a lot trying out Facebook ads a lot, right?
Understood.
And then, you know, trying cold Facebook ads, trying retargeting, and I couldn't really get anything that worked, right? And then when I seen how you were using ClickFunnels with like the MIDI money course, right? I was like, oh, I could use this concept and I could just flip it, right? And so I just start using it towards sample packs, right? Same concept, same, and I think you called me one time on Zoom, and I was working on a course, and you helped me, like, figure that out, like, with my copy and everything, and, you know, you gave me some gems about funnels, and then from those changes, and then a few rounds of testing some different ad creatives, like, my sales went crazy, to the point where I make more off ClickFunnels than I do Shopify.
Love it.
It completely flipped, you know, and so, like, I'm a fan, man. I appreciate it because you definitely gave me some gems on that.
Man, no, it's certainly my pleasure. That to me, I love this stuff. I just geek out on this stuff, and when I get a chance to, you know, it's great to do it for myself, and it, you know, there's another level of fulfillment. It's fun when you get to help other people out and hear their stories of, oh, this helped me, or, you know, this got me to that next level. So that's super dope. And yeah, and I think that is something that. A lot of times what I talk about is selling beats because that's kind of what I've done, but it applies. It's almost exactly the same for selling, you know, sample packs, kits, loops, whatever. It's really the same concepts. And to be perfectly honest, it applies to anything, but you know, it's a very direct relationship as far as the tactics, the strategies that you can use for selling beats and for selling, you know, loops and kits and packs and stuff.
Hey, so between that and like, and you know, I think people got to understand of like learning the concepts of stuff, right? And not just like trying to follow every step, but understand why that worked. Because as soon as you explained it to me, I was like, oh, to me, it reminded me of like when people talk about a free plus shipping. Or a tripwire, it's very similar, but you finessed it. And I was like, oh, that's genius. Like, I see what you did. You know what I mean? So then once that clicked for me, I'm like, oh, I could take this and use this 20 different ways, and that's what I've been doing. I use it in the beauty industry that I'm in. I do the same, brother, same play. I just finessed it, flipped it around a little bit, and it's working great. So I'm just taking the concept that's working and going with it.
That's a big gem. That's another one that, you know, I've been doing a few of these podcasts now. The theme that comes up a lot is just that idea of taking a concept of something that's working over here, whether if that's in this industry or whatever, and then you just apply it over here. You know, that's all me and Anno Domini did as far as, you know, the way that we set up our funnels and stuff. It's not like we invented anything. We just took something that people weren't really doing in this industry and applied it over here. And now all of a sudden you look like a genius and now it works great, you know?
No, I mean, it was genius, bro. I'm not going to pray. When I seen it, I first saw Anno and I was like, oh, this is genius. Because, you know, like, you know, I'm in the sample pack game. So I know everybody that's in there, like modern producers. I know, you know, producer grind, like everybody that's in it. I study and I'm seeing what they're doing. So when I seen how he was moving, I was like, oh, that's genius. I gotta get on board. So that's what made me start getting into ClickFunnels and watching a lot of Russell Brunson stuff and Steve Larson.
Yeah.
Like, that's what really got me into it, is just seeing that, and then I start putting two and two together and like, okay, cool, this makes sense.
Yeah, man. I see the Traffic Secrets book back. I see the Beat Traffic Blueprint. Oh, yeah.
I got all of, bro. I got all the Russell books back there. I actually got two copies. You sent me a copy, and I had just bought a copy too. And I was like, oh, I keep both of them. One of them I mark up and highlight, and then one of them I keep fresh.
Yep. Yeah. No. I mean, those, the three books that Russell wrote, the .com Secrets, Expert Secrets, Traffic Secrets. Those were all just life changing for me. Huge. Changed my whole perspective and kind of taught me most of what I know really came from those books. And then just like we're talking about, okay, how can I apply this to what we're doing, to selling beats, to music, to whatever? Like that's been huge for me. And shout out, man, appreciate you being a part of that Beat Traffic Blueprint.
Oh man, appreciate book it, man.
As well. That's something that, you know, it started out as like, oh, this kind of be a cool idea. And now it's kind of grown into this thing where, you know, a lot of people are really excited about it. So I appreciate you being a part of that one.
No, I appreciate it. It made me feel like, all right, I actually was part of something. When I got the book in the mail, I was like, ooh. I had a people at the house. They was like, wow, this is for real. I was like, okay. I did not expect it to be like that. So it was a great experience.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. No, it was fun. It was fun. And we might be too what's the word? Special release right now. We might be creating some more physical copies that could go out to more people. Dope. So just, you dope. Know, in the works, nothing for sure yet, but that might be something that we'll be doing. Cause right now people can grab that ebook. We'll drop the link later or whatever, but, that might be something that we'll be doing physical copies of, which would be pretty dope. We might just do a little free plus shipping funnel off of that book, you know?
Hey, they work, bro.
Yeah. Were you doing free plus shipping off like the beauty stuff? Because I've seen a lot of people doing that now.
Yeah, so I run one free plus shipping there. And I tried with a bunch of, bro, I've tried so many stuff. I tried one time with stickers, right? But the issue with stickers is that the shipping cost and the margin of what people value stickers is kind of weird. So it took a lot of tweaking to get it to be even somewhat decent. So it's just like me trying to understand what products work. And, you know, what stuff, like a book is so valuable. You can charge $50 for a book and it still makes sense. You know what I'm saying? So books, digital products, the same way. It's like the value could be $2 or it could be $200. Mm-hmm. It just depends on how the offer that you make with it. And that's something that I learned from Steve Larson. Like, I know Russell's the guy, but I love Steve Larson. Steve Larson is like my dude. Like, I listen to his podcast all the time. And I learned a lot about crafting offers and putting stuff together from him. Yeah. And that helped me tremendously. Like just understanding, okay, you don't have to lower your price all the time. You could add stuff to it to build it up. And that will separate you from everybody else. And that idea kind of just like changed everything as far as business.
Yeah, no, for sure. I love. Okay, yeah, let's get into some Steve Larson stuff because I love what he teaches. So as far as like creating that offer and making it great, there's like a few different ways to think about it, right? So I know like one of the big ones, and this is something that Russell talks about, but also Steve Larson talks about, is when people are deciding if they want to buy your thing, they have objections, right? Whatever the reason they're not getting, you know, just it's basic sales. They have their objections. Whatever this thing's not going to work. This I don't need this. Whatever, right? And generally, those objections fall under three categories. And those are vehicle, internal, or external, meaning vehicle-based, meaning the thing you're selling is the vehicle. So they have some objection about the thing you're selling, right? Like this, you know, this, let's say, sample pack is not that dope, whatever, right? Okay, so that would be a vehicle-based objection. An internal objection could be, all right, well, this pack is dope, but I'm not good enough to actually make a good beat from it. Right. An external objection could be, you know, something about the outside world would be like, OK, this pack is dope. I know I can make something dope, but the market is so saturated that when I go try to sell a beat, it's not going to work. So now what you can do in your offer is instead of just selling that sample pack, now you can say, OK, guess what? So you don't think this is dope? Well, let me show you, you know, here's this demo of like all these, you know, incredible, you know, put together things. And then they're like, oh, okay, well, you just knocked down that objection, right?
Exactly.
And then the internal one, maybe, well, I can't make something crazy from this. Bam, you can show them, hey, check it out. Like, these loops, like, watch how this works. You show them a quick tutorial, like, bam, load this up in your DAW, throw some drums on it, and it sounds amazing. And now all of a sudden their internal objection is gone. Like, damn, okay, I can do that.
Exactly.
You know, and then maybe what you throw in is a mini training from your boy Gabe about how to sell beats online that's showing, yeah, exactly, like, hey, this dude made $1 million selling beats online. What are you talking about? Like, check it out. Bam, knock down that objection, and now you've given them more value, and you've also, you know, gotten that sale.
Exactly. That, I'm telling you, between how to package it and then making the offer, those two things, like, really, because I feel like I understood it when it came to, like, drop shipping and all that stuff, but I'd never seen it with music, because I feel music is kind of weird, because music is not it's a real thing, but it's nothing tangible. So I feel like anything that's not tangible, it's hard to sell in a way. You have to package it a certain way, and you have to make sure it's certain objections is met, because it's not really a real thing. You know what I'm saying? So that part, it always messed me up, and I never could get past that until when I saw how you were doing it. I was like, oh, that makes sense. Okay, I get it now. And it kind of, everything started clicking. And from that, man, I've been running. Like, I've been going with that same formula.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's fun to me, too. Once you start geeking out and getting into, like, the psychology of it, like we're talking about there, of, okay, what are the different objections? How can you put this together? Like, I don't know. That stuff's fun to me. It's just I think sometimes people just don't know about it, or, you know, it sounds boring. But once you get into it, to me, it's super fun.
Me and Oracle call each other, like, once a week. Like, yo, bro, I just learned how to do this. Yo, switch this around, go do this. And you know, as we live for it, it's like, and we try to find a new gym to teach you each other. That's like the thing. It's like, all right, this week, Oracle told me something that helped me so much. I'm going to find something next week that's going to help him. And that, it's become like a game, but it's helped both of us so much. There's, you know, grow and just do better in business. And then it's fun being able to do business with your friends and see everybody else grow at the same time. It's super fun. So I enjoy it, man.
Yeah. And I love that spirit too, that I think sometimes people think that to be successful, they need to step on other people. And in my experience, it's really been the opposite. It's really by helping other people, by sharing the secrets, by, you know, helping your competitors, like all that kind of stuff. That's the thing that's really helped me grow. You know, Anno Domini, like that was, you know, for me coming up, he was the guy I looked up to, like, man, I just want to be like him. And then started to grow to a certain point where it's like, okay, now that's my competition. But then we teamed up, and I'll give him credit really for initiating this, of like, wait a second, let's just work together. Let's teach each, you know, let's help each other. Let's work together. Let's affiliate. Let's do stuff. And now we're better than ever. You know, and the same thing with everybody, with us working on Beat Traffic Blueprint, with us doing the podcast, with, you know, it's not like, oh, well, you know, I got the unquantized podcast and I don't want to be on your podcast because that, like, no, it's the opposite. It's like, I might have some people in my audience that don't know that they should be tuning into the unquantized podcast. And now they're like, damn, this guy Tris is dope. Like, I should go check that out, and vice versa. So, like, to me, I love that we have some of that going in the producer community of, no, let's teach each other, let's help each other, and that's how we're all going to end up, you know, continuing to grow.
Exactly. Yeah, it, you can't do any of this alone, especially, like, I hear people, so many people talk about they want placements, but they're by themselves, and it's like, bro, like, this game is a collaboration game. Like, that's all it's about. It's like, who do you know? Who are you collabing with, and can you make a good product? That's 90% of placements, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so, you know, I always tell people, like, I know with the Rona stuff, you can't, you know, we can't go out there and shake hands like it was. But, like, yo, DM people, message people, like, reach out to people, because that's the difference.
Yeah.
Emailing stuff all the time, just random emails. Like, bro, I get so many emails that of people just sending me beats. And it's like, bro, I don't know anything about you. I don't know who you are. Like, I'm not going to open it. I don't trust those links. But if someone messaged me and they build, like, some kind of relationship with me, and then they send me something, I'm like, oh, let me check it out. And same approach, you got to take that to, that's how you can reach anybody damn near, you know, network across, network with other people who are doing, instead of trying to shoot up at Drake. Like, I'll be seeing people like, yo, I DM Drake, I'm not getting, I'm like, bro, it's not happening. But network across, someone across might know somebody better that can get you in those right spaces. Bro.
Yeah, two huge gems right there. One is what you're saying as far as like the second part of like, yes, everybody thinks like, okay, I need to get whatever in contact with Drake, let's say, or right. whoever it is. Maybe it's even, you know, maybe it's even Sound Oracle or maybe it's Timbaland, right? And they're like, right. oh, if I could just get in, you know, and it's mm-hmm. like, no, like, look at your peers. Who are the people around you? Maybe somebody who's a few steps ahead of you. And then how can mm-hmm. you work with them? And that becomes, it's almost like your class, right? Like, okay, we're mm-hmm. in this class together. We're going to continue to support each other and keep, you know, right. sharing each other's audience, sharing ideas, and together, you know, we're going to come up. Don't always be trying to shoot for that top thing.
Exactly.
And eventually you'll end up getting there by doing that. You know, it's the same thing that mm-hmm. I did, where it was like, at first, you know, I was doing these beat pack launches for years, and I would reach out to everybody, whoever I could get, you know, and slowly I'd get a couple people on board and right. on board, you know, and now finally years later, now I'm at a point where like, you know, I can reach out to a lot of producers mm-hmm. and they're you know, they're going to know, right. but it took me a long time to get there. And it's because I put in that work first. And then the other thing you said too, as far as like reaching out, like just sending out beats, you know, to me that relates back to what we said before of giving value first, like your beats, mm-hmm. your music, whatever, that's not the value. So like, what can you do for that person? And something that I thought about too, while you were saying that is even sometimes you saying, hey, is there anything I can do for you? Like, that's a good start. You know what I mean? That's better right. than, but the truth is, if you're reaching out to Trizza, you're reaching out to me and you say, hey, is there anything I can do to help? Like, we're too busy to take the time to think about what you can do to help. You know,
right.
Maybe that sounds fucked mm-hmm. up, but it's true. Like, the real value is like, okay, let's say you do graphic design, is you send me a DM of like, check it out. I just put together 3 images that you could use right now for ads that are going to be dope. And I'll be like, oh, wow. Okay. You know what
exactly.
I mean? You did the work already.
right.
You know what I mean? Or a version that I'll do is I'll go, you know, I might reach out to a producer or something, and I'll create a quick screen share video, and I'll go onto their mm-hmm. sales page or whatever, and I'll be like, hey, this looks awesome. I just saw a couple little things. I think maybe if you tweak the headline here, if you change this, mm-hmm. this, and this, you know, you might be able to get a couple more sales. And I'll send that as the way to initiate the conversation. You know, mm-hmm. and I'll say a couple sentences like, hey, my name's Gabe. I've done this, this, and this.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? So that way I'm not saying, hey, if you ever want, I might be able to help you with some, like, get more sales. They'll be like, But if I send them that video, that 2-minute video mm-hmm. of pointers, then they're like, oh, wow, you actually gave me value. Okay, now let me hit you back. Let's start this
exactly.
conversation.
Exactly.
So I think that's something that I think people can look out for. What are those skills you have, whatever it is, graphic design, mm-hmm. anything, whatever. Start with that value. That's how you get in contact with those people. And now you can, you know, start that relationship.
Because people don't talk about, like, how you meet somebody determines a lot. Like, your introduction to somebody mm-hmm. determines how you approach them. So people who just spam emails, to me, you're like the guy that's, like, on the street handing out a CD with headphones. Like, you like hip-hop? Put on these headphones. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, you're that guy. And nobody wants to... I mean, no offense to that guy, but, you know, like, whenever I see those guys, like, I avoid them. Because it's like, bro, I don't know who you are. I don't want to put on your headphones, and I don't want to listen to that random song, right? But yep. if your friend be like, hey, this guy's cool, y'all should meet, then it's totally different. Like, the energy is going to be completely different. And the same thing goes for, like, DMing and the music industry. It's especially in Atlanta, bro. Atlanta is so small. So if you know 3 or 4 people that's in the circle, you know damn near everybody because everybody's so close and, like, you know, everybody goes to the same clubs. Everybody goes to the same studio. So if you know a few of those people, you're going to end up meeting damn near everybody just from those circles. So that's how I end up getting in a lot of these circles and knowing a lot of these people. It's just being cool, networking across. Not only did I try to, like, talk to the big producer, but I want to know who the engineer is, who is the songwriter, who is the guy in the corner, like,
right,
because he's there for a reason. And yep. those end up being the people that become A&Rs, and those be the people who become, you know, like, you know, bigger, huge producers. Like, those are the people you need to know and stay in contact with.
Exactly right. Especially because, well, for one thing, all those people around, like the engineer, whatever, mm-hmm. those are the people that have the ear of those mm-hmm. people that you want to get in contact with. And, you know, the guy who's the intern right now is the person who's going to be running the show mm-hmm. in 3 years anyway. So, like,
exactly,
you might as well make friends and be cool mm-hmm. with them. Don't be an asshole, because he's going to remember, you know, in 3 years.
Exactly.
Yeah, man. gems on gems. Well, man, this has been great. You've dropped plenty of gems.
Oh man,
man, really appreciate it. Maybe if you had any other things you wanted to, any last words, anything you want to get in there, and then if nothing else, if you could just let the people know, you know, what's the best place to find you, the podcast, mm-hmm. the site, the socials, whatever, and then whatever else you got coming up, any combination of those, just to wrap things up.
I would say my advice if I had to give somebody some advice would be, yo, as Miss Frizzle used to say, like, make mistakes, get messy, like, try stuff. You're not going to learn Facebook ads until you spend money. You're not going to learn the stock market until you spend money and try it, you know? So put yourself out there, experiment, research, you know, pay for courses. I buy any course that I could find that will shortcut my learning, because yeah. I could either spend a month trying to figure it out on my own, or I could spend 2 hours learning the shortcut to get there. So, you know, and not just my courses, Gabe's courses, but anything you're trying to learn, you know, shortcut yourself, you know, put yourself in the best position to learn stuff quickly. So that would be my last little final thing. And if people want to reach out, man, it's at Trizza, TRIZA on pretty much everything. And check out theproducerkit.com. Sounds, voice tags, we do, you know, content. So that's pretty much it. Oh, and Unquantized Podcast, me and Sound Oracle, every Friday. We on Instagram Live. We on YouTube answering questions live from different producers. So, yeah.
Dope. Right on, bro. Really appreciate you.
Oh, yeah. Appreciate you, man. This was fun. Shoot, I'm mad it's ending. I can keep
going. I know. We'll do another one. We got to keep them wanting more. We're going to We'll do another one soon.
Definitely. All right, bro. Appreciate you. It, man. Yeah. Thank you, man.
All right, man.
Thank you for listening to the MIDI Money Podcast. If you're not subscribed already, please be sure to do that right now on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you enjoyed this episode, I would really appreciate it if you do me a quick favor and rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, or comment and like the videos on YouTube. You know, those ratings, reviews, those comments, they all show that people are getting value, helps the algorithm, and helps get this podcast out to more producers. So it means so much to me if you'd be willing to take a couple minutes to do that. Oh, and if you'd like to learn more about how I was able to turn Legion Beats into a profitable business, and how you can join our community of hundreds of producers all working towards that same goal, head over to midimoney.com/go.